Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationemmonton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
Christmas can be a little bit intense. You're running around everywhere. You're trying to get your stuff here and there, and there's strollers all over the place. And wow, and there's bags everywhere. You know what I'm talking about. And Christmas sometimes can be a little bit intense. You're trying to get stuff done. You're on a mission. You're like, I got to find this right color of socks, and I will go to every Winners in the city until I find them. And you're going to all these different Winners trying to find this certain color and the certain fabric of socks. This happens to me every year for some reason. And Amazon cannot provide the socks that I need, and it's killing me. But it can be intense. We're running around. We're looking for stuff. We're trying to figure stuff out. And in the midst of all of this busyness, there's different notifications that are popping up on our phones. The notification of, I got to do this or I got to do that. But also the notification of, like, the group chat. Anybody got a family group chat that is way too active like me? Okay, like, stop. Stop with the GIFs or the GIFs or however you say it. Just don't send them anymore. I'm trying to get Christmas shopping done. But the different notifications that pop up as well, like, you ever heard of the app MyFitnessPal? All right, you're supposed to put stuff in it. It's supposed to make you thin or whatever. And it's like giving you the pop-ups like you haven't logged anything in 6 months. I know, all right. I also look in the mirror every day. I don't need you. And maybe you got, you know, different notifications that just keep popping up. Reminders, hey, you got to do this. You got to do that. Different reminders, notifications that distract us from the moment that we're supposed to be in. It can distract us from a stressful moment of shopping. You end up walking into somebody or messing up that way, but it can also distract you from the beautiful moments that are happening with the children in front of you. It can also distract you from the fact that God's trying to speak to you in a moment. Anybody ever tried to read their YouVersion app and some notifications start popping up and you're like, I'm trying to focus on the Lord right now. Different notifications that pop up in our lives. And this is why I love the Do Not Disturb feature on my phone. There's a beautiful little half moon there that will set you free this morning. Come on, everybody, if you got an iPhone or whatever, however, I don't know how the other ones work, but you push the do not, that little moon will change your life. That do not disturb, I don't care what your name is, I don't care if I work for you, or I don't care if I owe you money, you can't talk to me right now, because I push do not disturb, and I'm trying to focus on something else. And I love doing that in moments. I love doing that when I go home at night and focusing on my family and what I want to do there. But I think that sometimes we need some do not disturb in our thoughts. See, because there's some notifications that don't just pop up on our phones. There's also some notifications that pop up in our minds, right? The notification of where we don't measure up. The notification of where maybe that one person, you think they're doing a little bit better a job than you. The notification of that one person at work who's trying to get your position. The notification of something you did wrong, whether it was 10 years ago or 10 seconds ago. We get these notifications that pop up in our minds. And I think sometimes we need to hit do not disturb on these notifications. You know, it can be how you handled a situation poorly. You know, oh man, maybe you shouldn't be leading people because, man, this is what you did last time. Or maybe you shouldn't make that investment because look what happened last time. Maybe you shouldn't be doing that. Maybe you shouldn't be investing at all because look at what happened last time. Or maybe it was last time I tithed, I didn't get the result that I wanted, so maybe I shouldn't tithe anymore. Little notifications that come up. For me, the notification is maybe you shouldn't drive, especially in December, because, man, you get angry in traffic. You know what I'm saying? Anybody know what I'm talking about? In South Common, why are you stopped in the middle of the road? And you're freaking out and getting notifications of these things. But Christmas is supposed to be a celebration of Jesus. It's supposed to be a celebration of why he came to this earth. In Matthew 1:21, it says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Because he will save the people from their sins. He will save the people from their sins. Man, that's the message of Christmas. We're saved. The message of Christmas is that there can be peace on earth. And so many people are like, there can't be peace on earth. You haven't met all my kids, and you haven't met my kids' friends, and there's no peace on earth. But there can be peace on earth when there's peace inside of you. There can be peace on this earth because of the peace that's inside of us. See, he came to this world so we can be free. Many of us have heard that message before. Many of us have heard this. But you can celebrate his birth. You can celebrate his birth without living in the freedom that he brought with it. You can celebrate his birth this time of year without living in the freedom that you're supposed to be living in. See, we need a sensitivity in our lives to know when the notifications that pop up are from God or if they aren't. We need a sensitivity in our lives to know, hey, is this from God or it isn't? You guys got to move that prompter faster, man. You got to keep up with me. I'm like, I've had a lot of coffee this morning, and let's do this. This is second service. I'm ready to roll. Like at Christmas time, there's many movies that play. At Christmas time, there's all kind of movies that play, and I think that sometimes in our minds we are playing a movie about the past. For me, I can pretty much recite the movie Coco to you. I have seen it like 200 times. I know every single line in that movie, but I think that sometimes we do this about our past. See, I think there's a movie playing sometimes about the things that are wrong with us, about our weaknesses, about the things that we've done wrong. I think sometimes with parenting, you do something and it makes you feel ashamed in your parenting. But does God really want us to be reminded of all the things we've done wrong? Does God really want us to be reminded about where we've messed up? See, I don't think so. In the Bible, it parallels our lives to sheep, okay? Parallels our lives to sheep. So in Psalms 103, it says this: know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. See, sheep can tend to make unwise choices. Now you're like, okay, I know. That's definitely true. All right, I definitely believe the Bible now. Sheep make unwise choices. That is me. Praise God. No, that's how I feel sometimes. But sheep can tend to make unwise choices. See, here's the thing about sheep. The thing about sheep is they wander into rapid water for a drink. And here's the thing about this rapid water. It can take their legs out. And then their fur starts to fill with water, and then they get pulled underneath the water, and they drown. Their wools grow heavy, and they get pulled underneath. Sheep need a shepherd to lead them to calm water. Sheep need a shepherd to bring them to the water where they're supposed to drink from, to bring them to have success in life, to feel better, to find freedom. Sheep, to not have death in their life, they need a shepherd to bring them to the right water. And Jesus is our shepherd in John 10:11. It says, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. What did David say? What did David say about the shepherd? He said, even though I walk through the valley of the darkness, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, I didn't really understand this verse for many years because my mom would always yell it when she was spanking us. My rod and my staff will comfort you. Ah! Is it okay to make spanking jokes in church still? Okay. No, she didn't do that. She didn't do that. But what's he saying? What's he saying? There was a lot of spanking happening in my household. What's he saying? He's saying that the rod of the shepherd can lead us off of the wrong path, out of the wrong water. See, Jesus can keep us on the right path. Jesus can keep us away from these notifications that are messing with our heart, that are messing with our mind and our soul. And we tend to be swept away by waters we should have avoided. I don't know about you, but there's some things in my life that I wish I would have never gotten into. But I thank God the good shepherd was there for me. I thank God he was there. His rod and his staff comforted me and pulled me away from the wrong path. We need a shepherd to care for us and to guide us and to pull us out of the water where sin and where shame reside. And I love this verse in Psalms 23, 2. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Now, until I read about sheep's behavior and the fact that they would go into rough water that would pull them under and eventually kill them, I don't think I understood that verse. I think for the most part, I thought that verse was like, oh, he takes you to a nice lake and you look over the lake and it's still and it's peaceful because calm water is peaceful. I like looking at calm water. But no, what he's saying with this verse is he will literally set you free from the things that will take you under. I think that there's some things in our lives this morning that we need to move away from that are pulling us under. Man, maybe it's our pride. Maybe it's the fact that we can't get along with people. There's always strife and conflict in our life. Maybe it's the fact that, you know, there's something, these things that God's trying to pull us away from, but we say, no, I'm going to stay in the water. There's things that creep up into our lives, and they're the reason we can't move forward with our life. And Jesus is sitting there going, I'm waiting to lead you beside still waters. I'm waiting to lead you into a life where there is no strife. I'm waiting to lead you into a life where you get along with people. I'm waiting to lead you into a life where you will find the peace that I've promised you that you cannot seem to find. I'm waiting to lead you into those waters, but you keep staying in the rough one that keeps pulling you under. And there's notifications that pop up in our mind that remind us of this. And what happens is our sin causes shame. Now, shame, the thing about shame is it's not a one-and-done thing. Like, you don't get to sit here in church and listen to this message and go, I'm never going to deal with shame again in my life. Wow, this worked. And I wish that was the case. But it takes time to fix these things. Let's jump into this morning. What is shame? Shame is a bad or wrong opinion of myself because I have a bad or wrong opinion of God and how he sees and loves me. Are you hearing me today? Shame is a bad opinion of yourself because you have a bad opinion of God. See, guilt is about what we've done, but shame is about who we are. That's why it's so dangerous. Guilt is, I'm Aladdin, I stole a piece of bread, I should put it back. I feel bad for that, all right? But shame is like, I am a failure. See, guilt says I've made a mistake. Shame says I am a mistake. And that's why it's so dangerous getting into shame. Shame is the rough water. We can't let it drown us. So how do I know if I'm dealing with shame this morning? See, as I started this message, I started to get a little bit insecure. Like, do people really deal with this thing? And then I realized as I started working with it that I was dealing with this so much in my life. That we must be dealing with shame. I'm going to ask you 7 questions this morning. 7 questions. Do you often think you don't measure up? This is how we know if maybe we're dealing with shame or not. Do you often think you don't measure up? Do you feel like you're constantly doing stupid things and making embarrassing mistakes? Do you struggle with insecurities? Do you feel like you're never good enough and you never will be? By the way, these are in the notes and on the app. If you don't have the app, you need to get the app. You can print the notes off. If you like paper better with the app, it works really good. We'll save so many trees together. And anyways, save the world. Where was I? Do you feel like, here we go, 5, thank you. Do you say, I always followed by something negative? Man, I always do that. I always do this. Do you struggle with the same sin over and over, after repenting over and over, even though you sincerely want to change? Do you think you've committed a sin that no one could forgive? You might have some shame on you. And if we allow shame into our heart, we're likely to try and fix it with works. Like we're likely trying to repair it on our own. Here's the thing about it, is that you can never do enough. You can never pray enough. You can never serve enough because forgiveness cannot be earned. Hear me this morning, that we get back into this, we hear this message that, oh, it's not about works, but we live a life where it is about works. So we become so legalistic and unattractive to the world because they still think that being a Christian is about not having sex and not drinking, okay? Like literally, there's people who think that, oh, you guys only have sex to have a baby or something. Like they're just, anyways, people, You don't meet these people. Well, I do, okay? Anyways. There's too many people in our lives that think that what Christianity is going door to door with a door badge and saying, have you heard about Jesus? And then bringing all this legalistic stuff up. See, that's the reality is in your and my neighborhood, there's people walking door to door that don't know Jesus, that don't really have a relationship with Jesus. But they're going door to door saying they are, saying that they have the truth, when in reality we do. Which is why we're so passionate about invitation, because there's people going to your neighbor's houses that are bringing lies to them, that are representing the name of Jesus wrong. But we're going to change that. And that's why you got to bring them to Christmas in Edmonton. Set the record straight. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's get back to the message. But there's notifications that keep popping up in your and I's life. But here's the thing. Christianity is not about what we do. It's about what's been done for us. It's not about these certain actions we're supposed to take, but it's about what's been done for us. Then why do I feel like I still have to achieve something? Why do I feel like I have to get these, you know, medals of honor every time, you know, I put up my hand in the service, and then I get water baptized, then I get on a team, I do everything they told me to do, and I followed all the steps, but I still feel like I have to achieve something, like I'm not good enough. Because in shame, we become works-focused, and it traps us in hidden sin. And it keeps us in a cycle of sin, and it keeps us from being an overcomer. And in shame, we won't be honest with God, because we're not good enough, right? We're not good enough to be honest. We want to hide it to ourselves. Shame wants us to forever identify with our sin. It wants to remind you that you lost your virginity before you were married. It wants to remind you that you're addicted to pornography. It wants to remind you about the adultery that happened in your life. It wants to remind you about the times that you fell short. I think the other thing about shame is if you've been sexually abused, it keeps you from really being able to wipe the slate clean. It was someone else's sin that got you there, but the devil's using shame to hold you in that. See, shame plays videos of past experiences in our minds. Keeps playing the video of the past experience. It's a constant notification, and it strips us of the power to change. It makes us read the notifications about the past and believe that we are bad. It makes us feel like we need to hide in our shame. Like Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. Like Adam and Eve, right? They sinned and then they hid from God. They sinned and they're like, oh my gosh, my kibbles and bits are hanging out. I need to hide. I can't let God find me. It made them feel ashamed, right? See, shame makes us hide from both God and from people. Shame makes us hide from God and people. See, we say to ourselves, if they only knew what kind of person I was. We say to ourselves, if they only knew what happened to me, if they only knew what I've done. Because the enemy wants to rob us of the blessing of this fellowship with others. He wants to rob us of the blessing of real fellowship with other believers. He wants to rob you of the blessing of a connect group. He wants to rob you of that, saying, you'll never lead one of those. There's too many things messed up in your life. He wants to rob you of that, saying, don't go to that connect group. What if people find out what you've done? People will think bad about you. He wants to rob you of that blessing and keep you isolated. But here's the thing. Jesus came to give you freedom. I know you've heard that before, but are you living that today? In 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he himself walks in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. From all sin. God doesn't want us reading these notifications that are trying to distract us. He's given us his grace and his salvation to free us and cleanse us from our past. And that past could be 10 years ago, but it could also be 10 seconds ago. God's freeing you of the things that are still going on in your life. There's no need for these notifications. So how do you free yourself of shame? You're sitting here today going, okay, maybe I've identified with some of these things that you're saying, but how do I move on from here? By cleansing by the word of God. Cleansing by the word of God. Replace the lies that are in your heart. Replace the lies that are in your mind. You need to have scripture in front of you. See, I'm raising a toddler at home right now. And if you know anything about raising a toddler, parents, you guys are in the back, you're exhausted. It's okay. You don't have to yell at me, but I know you're there. I know you're there. Okay, I'm with you. Raising a toddler can be insane. Some days, you're like, I'm the greatest parent in the world. He ate everything I told him to eat. There was nothing he colored on this morning. All right, he did not chew up the couch. Like, literally, kids can do that. But have him. It's good. Don't be scared of kids this morning. But the thing about raising a toddler is they get into things that they're not supposed to. Mine specifically has ran around our house with a kitchen knife. Like, not a butter knife, like the type that you keep in the thing and you sharpen once in a while. He ran around the house with that thing, blade up. Anyways, the thing about toddlers is they get into things that they're not supposed to. Kind of sounds like you and I. They get into things they're not supposed to. And what I found is if I just try and remove what they're not supposed to have, then I'm going to I heard a parent laughing at the back because they know. They're like, oh, thank you, Jesus, he's preaching. But if I try and just remove that thing they're not supposed to have, man, I'm going to create chaos. What I need to do is replace it, right? Replace the Sharpie with a washable marker. Come on. Replace the knife with a toy, right? Replace those things. And I think that God is speaking that to us today. There's things in your heart, and maybe you've tried to remove them before. And God's saying, I want you to replace them. I want you to replace them with my promises. I want you to replace them with my word. I want you to replace them with a plan I have for you. Because sometimes I think we come to church, and we sit there, and we hear a message, and we're like, that's great. I'm going to go home and apply that. You're right? So you're like, all right, I got to go home. I got to stop doing this. I got to stop doing that. And then you do it. This is where shame comes in. I did it. I messed up. And then you know, I got to stop it. I got to stop it. And you're so focused on stopping it, which is causing you to do it more. Does anybody know what I'm saying this morning? You're so focused on not acting this certain way that you end up doing it more because you're so focused on it. And God's not saying remove it this morning. He's saying replace it with his word. Replace it with his promises. Replace it with a plan for your life. Replace it with the fact that I'm going to be the best parent that these kids have ever known because I'm the only parent they know. Anyways, but I believe that God's calling you to replace some things in your life this morning. Allow his word to replace the lies that got put there. Replace the lies that got put there. See, we can believe what God says about us. When we believe what God says about us and when we see ourselves the way God sees us, then we can receive forgiveness and live with confidence that comes from the Lord. I want to tell you today that God wants you to live a confident life. But how do I do that? You can hear that in church this morning and go, I've heard God wants me to be confident, but how do I do that? See, confidence, it comes from repetition. When you do something over and over and over again, you get confident, right? Anybody remember the first time you drove? I did. I stole my parents' car and just drove. You know what I'm saying? I backed it into a fence on the neighbor's fence. But your first time you drive, you're like a little bit scared of things, right? And now you're driving to work, you got a cheeseburger over here, you're shaving your eyebrows over here, you're doing all this stuff. Why? Because you've done it so much, you've been confident in it. The first time, I'm going to use this word. The first time they made me preach in church, I'm going to use that word because I was terrified of it. It was an opportunity. I'm very grateful for it. But the first time, kind of felt like they were making me do it because I was like, oh, Lord, I want to do this, but I'm also going to throw up all over the place. But I remember the first time walking out on that stage being like, dear Lord, why am I doing this? And just feeling like so terrified of going out on that stage and speaking and bringing God's word to people. Man, I was so scared. I was like shaking and there was like white stuff growing on the sides of my mouth. You know what I'm talking about? And I was terrified. But today, I mean, I still honor the stage. It's still scary to speak up here. You still gotta not eat for like 84 hours before you preach because you're so scared. You're gonna puke everywhere. But the shakes have gone away. You know what I'm saying? You can walk up here without being like, oh God, I'm weak. Why? Because confidence comes from doing that. Because the more I do it, the more I gain confidence in it. Today, let's decide we're going to be confident in the Lord. How we do that? Repetition. So what does that mean? It means we got to go old school and get some Bible verses in front of us. Right? It means we got to write some Bible verses down on a cue card and put that on the mirror where you're getting ready. And so every morning as you look in that mirror, you put that makeup on, you say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Right? Every morning as you're driving to work, you put a little cue card in the car. And every morning you're reading that scripture as you're driving to work, as you're driving the kids to school. And you're saying, I am not going to parent with fear no more. I'm not going to live with fear no more. You put that cue card in your car and you drive to work saying, God, I'm confident in you. God, I know you got a plan for my life. God, I know you're going to advance me in this company because I love you. My heart is pure and you're going to take care of me. We need repetition in our lives. Build that repetition so you can be confident in the Lord. Romans 8, 1 to 4. You know, the funny thing is, in first service, and I hope I don't do it in this one, but in first service, I went off and I was like, yeah, I'm confident in speaking. And then I got to this verse, and I read it. I'm like, I jumped around on lines. I'm like, dear Lord, what was I doing? But I looked at my phone, and my dad texted me, don't say kibbles and bits in the next service. I'm not going to be ashamed of the mistake I made. Come on. Anyways. Whew. Come on. Let's see. Man, second service. You guys are a great service. I love this. This is a good service. Let's see if we can make it through Romans 8, 1 to 4. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Come on, say no condemnation in the church today. Come on. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life and has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Come on today, can you put your past on do not disturb? Can you decide you're not going to bother me no more? I'm going to replace you with the promises of God. See, here's the thing. I don't think God will love me because I'm good. I think God will make me good because he loves me. It's not about God loving me because I've done these good works or because I talk a certain way. He'll make me good because he loves me so much. And when I'm reminded of my bad, I need to remind myself of God's good. 2 Corinthians 3, 16 to 18 says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Come on, say there is freedom this morning. Come on, like you mean it. There is freedom. You know, talking about freedom, we're going to be starting a brand new style of Connect group in January called Freedom Groups. And I'm going to tell you, these Freedom Groups are going to change your entire life. They are an incredible way of doing Connect Groups. I'm so excited to launch those things. And man, we're going to have fun with Freedom Groups this year. But here's what I found. Because of shame, you can be free and not live free. You can be free and not live free. So you can know that the shepherd is there. You can know that he wants to lead you by still waters, yet still be pulled under by the rough water. And in the rough water, man, sometimes it can be hard to praise. In the rough water, man, it's hard to lead other sheep, right? You're barely keeping your head above water. You don't want to be like, come join me, like, let's do this. But in the rough water, there's no difference from the rest of the world. You don't find that freedom. You're bombarded by the notifications of the past. But we need to allow the shepherd to lead us by still waters. In this season of Christmas, remind yourself why Jesus came in the first place. See, the enemy will always want to mess with the simplicity of the gospel. This is what I've found in people over the years of being in church, is that they sometimes people get a messed up picture of the gospel. Like they feel like because they did this or that, or because maybe they spent a season away from church, they've somehow lost their salvation and this kind of thing, because the enemy will always want to complicate it and want to mess with it and say, you have to do this or that first, or you have to say this or that right first, or your haircut has to be a certain way, or you have to be balding to speak on the stage or something like that. But the enemy will always want to mess with the simplicity of the gospel, but God always wanted to keep it simple. I want to show you how good God is in Luke 23 this morning. So they're all on the, Jesus is on the cross. There's a criminal on either side of him. And one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, said, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. You like how he threw in us in there? Like, and while you're at it, take me too. Yeah, you know, you're God. You're supposed to be so good. Why don't you save me too? But the other criminal rebuked him. He said, don't you fear God, he said? Since you're under the same sentence, we are punished justly for what we are getting, for what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said this. This is the message of salvation. Truly, I tell you today, you'll be with me in paradise. It was simple. He believed in his heart. He spoke it with his mouth. He believed in his heart. He proclaimed it with his mouth. And as far as we knew, this criminal was on his way to hell. This criminal was on his way to spend eternity in hell. And Jesus changed that in a moment. And the band can come on up. We're about to close. But this is how good God is. This is how good the grace of God is that believing in your heart and proclaiming it with your mouth can get you rerouted on the way to heaven. And you can hear the message of grace over and over and over, and you can be like, I've sat through messages like this over and over, I'm still not getting this. I'm still getting the notifications of shame in my life. Because the shepherd can be there, but you can still be sitting in the water that's killing you and pulling you under. But the good shepherd will lead you to still waters. Remember, Christianity is not about what we do. It's about what's been done for us. It's not about what we do. It's about what's been done for us. And so sometimes people want to challenge a message like this and say, well, I can just do whatever I want then. But here's the deal. We are the organisms through which Christ works. So when you get an invite card, that's your opportunity to invite someone to Christmas service, to be the organism through which Christ works. When you show up on Sunday, nice and early, to run the cameras, to make sure that the message of Jesus goes out onto Facebook and reaches all these people's friends, they don't even know it's coming, right? You're the organism through which Christ works. And here's the thing I love so much about Christmas time. This is what I love so much about Christmas time. Is that the name of Jesus is being proclaimed all over our city right now. In Dollarama, in Southgate Mall, come on, in West End Mall, wherever you go, they're playing Christmas music with the name of Jesus in it. They're playing Christmas music that's talking about that oh holy night. Come on. And the Holy Spirit, while your friends are out shopping, while your family is out, you know, doing Christmassy things, the Holy Spirit's preparing their heart for what God wants to do in it. And here's our opportunity to be the organism through which Christ works and bring them to church next week on Monday, when they are gonna hear the simplicity of the gospel like we talked about today. And I believe their lives are going to be changed. And I think there's people in this room that have wrestled with the simplicity of the gospel. That there's been things about this that have frustrated you, and there's notifications that keep popping up in your mind. And like I said, you've heard the story of freedom. You've heard the message of freedom, but you haven't lived in that. I believe God wants to set you free today. Because the gospel's very simple. Believe in your heart, speak it with your mouth. And I believe that God wants to set somebody free today. When you start living for him, when you say, Jesus, I believe you're Lord, man, you start living for him and things will change. Come on, why don't we jump up on our feet really quick? God, I just thank you for what you're doing in this place today. I thank you that we'd be reminded of what this season is about. God, right now, let's remind ourselves what this season is about and what you want to do in us and the people around us right now. If there's people in this room, you know that maybe you've believed it in your heart, but you haven't spoken it with your lips. Or maybe you've spoken it with your lips before, but you've never really believed it in your heart. And you know that you're not living for Jesus. You know that you haven't asked him into your heart to come and free you of your sin. If you want to make a decision today to pray a prayer with me to change that, I would love to pray with you. We're going to do that in a moment. It's going to be very simple. You're going to stay where you are. And you're just going to repeat after me, and everybody in the room is going to repeat it as well. But man, when you believe that in your heart and you speak it with your mouth, your life will change forever. So if you're in the room today, you want to pray that prayer with me, I'd love to just quickly see your hand right now on the count of three. One, two, three. Just stick up your hand right now so I know who I'm praying with. There's been so many people in the first service that prayed as well. Awesome. You can put your hand down and we're going to pray it together. So let's all repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for coming at Christmas time and living a perfect life and dying for my sins. Today I ask that you come into my heart, forgive me of my sins. From now on, I live for you. In Jesus' name. Let's all just keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And in this moment, I know that there's people in this room that have been struggling with shame. Maybe there's people in your family that keep bringing stuff up, but it's probably in our minds more than anything. And you've been struggling with the shame of maybe how you've been parenting. Maybe you've been struggling with the shame of how you've been living. Struggling with the shame of what you did in the past, what you did before you knew Jesus. And today I think that we just need to give this shame to him. Today I think we just say, let's put those notifications on do not disturb. From now on, my eyes are fixed on Jesus. Come on, if you're comfortable to do this with me, why don't you just lift your hands right now? I'm just going to pray over us really quick. Lord God, I just thank you so much that you love all your children in this room. God, you accept us as we are. You can use us as we are. You have a plan for us as we are. And God, you want to put the past away. I just thank you that today, God, we feel that weight lifted off of our shoulders, that you would take that today. And from now on, God, we live for you. From now on, we live in your freedom. From now on, we live in the freedom of what Jesus died for. And we say this morning, lead us to still waters. Restore our soul. God, we're ready for a new, fresh spirit in us. In Jesus' name. Come on, together, let's say amen this morning.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.